There is a very well-known sefer, a sefer that many of us, I imagine, are familiar with, and that sefer is Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. In the world of Hilchos Shabbos, and here's an important thing to know, Rav Neuwirth, who was a very, very chashuv Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael, one of the great Talmidim of Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. So Rav Neuwirth wrote a sefer, now several, three volumes, called Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. Let me give a background to that sefer. I want to explain why it was important and popular, and then some of the critique about that sefer, which emerged, all extremely fascinating. There are areas of halacha which all of halachas always, there are new shilas which come up. There's no area in which there aren't new shilas, but there are particular areas in halacha where, unsurprisingly, there is almost more of a need to sort of constantly assess how things play out. One of those realms, undoubtedly, I mean, one of those realms is like Hilchos Ribbis. As the world of business and finance is always evolving, so unsurprisingly, questions about ribbis will continue to sort of like emerge and evolve a little bit. But one of the primary areas is Hilchos Shabbos. The Hilchos Shabbos described by the Chafetz Chaim and the Mishneh Berurah, that's the basis for so many discussions. But so many of the shilas which come up nowadays in the world of Hilchos Shabbos are really not going to be found in Mishneh Berurah. Do I heat up my food using a hot plate, or the status of crock pots, or things like that, speak about a reality which is very different than the reality that the Chafetz Chaim was dealing with in Radin in the 1920s. These are just different shilas which come up. Hilchos Shabbos, in that sense, sometimes requires a bit of a reworking as technology becomes a bigger deal. Rav Neuwirth writes decades ago a sefer called Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. The goal was to have two sections of the sefer. The top part of the sefer tells you what to do, the basic halacha. The bottom part are very sort of like lumdisha footnotes. Footnotes where he tells you the mekoros for what he says. Footnotes where he tells you, he often quotes from Shlomo Zalman. So one of the reasons why the sefer is so valuable, aside from it being easy to use with a good index in the back, a shaila comes up, look at the index and know where to go. It happens to be, it tells you a lot of the psakim of Rav Shlomo Zalman, which we wouldn't necessarily have otherwise, other than through the sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. So when people learn Hilchos Shabbos, again, it was sort of a more modern, up-to-date take on Hilchos Shabbos. Why was the sefer very popular? So for two reasons. Number one, it was remarkably accessible. If you were not the biggest lamdan in the world, you wanted to know, what do I do on Shabbos? So I could look up and the top tells you, you know, what to do, tells you the basic halacha. It was also written, and here's like the two tiers of how it was written. It was also written for those who were potentially much more familiar with Hilchos Shabbos, but wanted to understand some of the new contemporary shilas. What were we saying? What did Shlomo Zalman say? What did Rav Neuwirth say? And it gave you the opportunity to sort of learn and analyze in much greater depth what was happening in the world of Hilchos Shabbos. In many ways, and there are two interesting articles written about Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. One is written by Rabbi David Beshefkin. He wrote it, I think, fairly recently. The other is written by someone named Uri Radman, who is a Rosh Kollel in Petach Tikva, Shoham, an interesting person, wrote a Sefer in Geiras, which apparently is fantastic. That they both wrote Shmir Shabbos. So one of the things that Rabbi Beshefkin makes, Shmir Shabbos like introduced a whole new like genre of Svarim. Not the only one, but a major kind of like, here's a Sefer only on a topic, not Mishneh Berurah, which is on like all of Shulchan Aruch HaRachayim, but here's a Sefer only on a topic called Hilchos Shabbos. It's a Sefer which is written as a collection in many ways, albeit with some Chidushim, but the same way we have Svarim now that come up only on Hilchos Tefillah, Svarim that come up only on Hilchos Tefillin, Svarim that come up only on Hilchos Tefiras Omer. So that was a Sefer which was written only on Hilchos Shabbos, and in particular, it happens to be the same way that Rav Neuwirth did it so many decades ago, newer Shilas, so we have newer Svarim that come out in the world of Hilchos Shabbos that are also trying to sort of like update, clarify, and be helpful. Two of those Svarim that are most well known are Orcho Shabbos. Orcho Shabbos, if you've seen Hilchos Shabbos Svarim, clear, nice, you know, here are the Mekoros. Again, different from Shabbos in certain ways. And if you're an English speaker, as we all are, you know, Rabbi Ribiat's four-volume Hilchos Shabbos book, which is also sort of a way of talking about some of the shilas that are most common, the examples that are most frequent in our homes and things like that. Why would anyone critique the Sefer? It seems like a wonderful idea. It'll increase the knowledge of Shabbos. It'll be able to give us increased awareness of what to do. So there were two, I would say, major critiques that came out, and both of these articles speak about. One of them comes from the Stipler in the Sefer Chaye Olam. The Stipler has very, very harsh things to say about in a footnote there. The other is the Reshiva of Slobodka. Rav Dov Landau wrote a short, very strong critique of the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. What is wrong with the Sefer Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa? It seems like it's a wonderful thing. So there are a bunch of different critiques that are made, and we'll try to understand them a little bit. Number one, already coming back from the time of the Maharal, the Marsha, and some others, there's generally speaking much hesitation among certain poskim when it comes to people sort of giving you collection works of what to do. If you want to learn a sugya, so learn a sugya. The idea that like someone's going to just tell you this is what you do without giving you all the background to the whole sugya, and stam, a person's going to look it up and decide what to do with just a conclusion, was something which was many poskim were very nervous about. They were nervous about, not just because they were like, it wasn't a question of being like condescending towards those that don't need it. Because situations in halacha often shift, it's a more complex case. It's a case where you need a kula because it's a shasad chak. It's a makum hefsid. It's because of the dynamics which take place sometimes in certain contexts that they were nervous about, almost like an element also of like breaking the connection to a posek who can guide you correctly, and a certain like sort of understanding of the nuance and the real sort of work of how halacha comes. There are some who are very nervous, not about some of the methodology, not about the methodology. He's quoting from lots of different svarim, whichever svarim he sort of happens to be into. You know, Sefer Orcho Shabbos is a little bit more limited in the svarim that he'll quote, a little bit more limited. There are many, though, who are nervous about it, and this you have in this svarim also. This likewise a bit of a knock at this with Dov Landau also, which is that the Sefer, at least its initial printing, was fairly makel about a lot of things. And there was a little bit of pushback because here you're coming with a new Sefer, you're pretty makel, and you're publicizing it for anyone, and the standards, not the standards, which all poskim think should necessarily be held up. What ends up happening is when the Sefer gets reprinted, interestingly enough, some of the kulas get pulled back, which is why if you're like really into some things, so you always want to know like, which edition is it of Shmir Shabbos? Like it's a first edition or a second edition? You know, in order to sort of get some background for where it is. Rav Wozner, the author of Shevet Halevi, I believe, has a haskama in the first printing of Shmir Shabbos, but not in the subsequent ones because of some of the pushback. But Rav Neuwirth even updated his sefer a little bit in response to that. He writes, he didn't respond clearly to all of the pushback. He didn't like get involved in that kind of a thing, but there was a little bit of an understanding, you know, what was and wasn't considered to be, maybe that was too make or things like that. Lemaisa, the Sefer, is immensely popular, and it does have the backing of many other Gedolei Torah. Most significantly, it's really Rav Shlomo Zalman and Hilchos Shabbos in many ways. It doesn't mean that Rav Shlomo Zalman agrees to everything which is there. In Shuvah Mikra Shlomo, you can find here or there this disagreement with what's found in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. But it's an unbelievable resource for knowing, and it has the backing of anyway, that's not so different from when Shulchan Aruch gets published, but when it's a year or two ago. And Shulchan Aruch is a very controversial work, you know, giving you the basic dinim. And some poskim think, I'm not so into that at all. And that happens sometimes when you have these svarim which are like milaki, different things. There's often a little bit of pushback. But the Sefer becomes immensely popular. The Sefer becomes immensely well known. And it serves as a basis for so many discussions. What's interesting is that nowadays it still plays a real role, but two additional ha'aras about the Sefer. I believe they're of Yoel Katan, who's the head of the Machon Shel Moamin here in Shalvim, wrote an article about Shmir Shabbos in the newer edition, where he points out an interesting shift. As the years went on, sometimes the Sefer itself became a bit fatter, and it had longer discussions about different things, which he points out is wonderful as a reference guide, but it actually made it somewhat less helpful as a Sefer to learn straight through. When it focused on some of the more basics, you're able to sort of like go through it more regularly. Now as they become more of a reference work, you know, it's longer, it's more thorough, more comprehensive, it becomes a little bit more challenging. What also happens is as newer Shilohs can't come up, so Shmir Shabbos becomes like the generation up. And sometimes if you're living in America nowadays and with all the different questions come up with technology and the like, so Orcha Shabbos has, I think, in Chela Gimbal, big discussions about technology on Shabbos. You're going places like the automatic lights and the satellites and Google Earth and all these kinds of questions which come up like nowadays the same way, which were not coming up the same way, especially when it was originally printed. So Shmir Shabbos becomes really important, but sometimes almost as one more step in the chain of Hilchos Shabbos, and sometimes less in terms of the general sort of like, here's where you go for final psak. I believe they point out, I don't know if this is true, but one of the first svarim, I don't know if this is accurate, but I saw this written somewhere, that's one of the earlier svarim that had an index in the back. that sometimes if you want to know what to do, and you have it, they printed recently, like Dirshu printed an index of all of Dirshu Mishnah Berurah, which is fantastic. But if you want to know, I want to leave something up, it's Shabbos, and I can't go learn the whole sukkah. I don't know what to do. So Rabbi Ruby has an index, and Pesukei Teshuvos has an index, but one of the earlier Sfarim that has like an index of just, if a Shabbos comes up, where is it in the Sefer, Wash Mir Shabbos Kolchasa, an immensely important work of Katan writes, you know, like in, come on, every, in so many firm homes, you find at least an edition of Sfir Shabbos Kolchasa. It's a very standard Sefer taking you through Hilchos Shabbos, and one that I think is incredibly important to know about.